Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for the 8th of March. I'm Jo Faye. This episode is brought to you by the women of Switzerland who are working to get ahead and be successful at work and in business. We'll be meeting some of them and finding out how they're doing it, plus the challenges they're facing along the way. Later on, we're taking a step back in time to when women in Switzerland had a very different role to play, whether it was defending their village from armed invaders or pouring cauldrons of boiling soup over soldiers' heads. We'll be investigating the forgotten heroic females of Swiss history and legend. First, though, to modern Zurich. The city bustles with businessmen and women, pacing the streets to the offices of multinational corporations, insurance firms, banks, startups, and more. But once the women start to rise up in the ranks in these companies, what happens to them? On average, the top 100 Swiss firms only have an 11% share of women on their boards. I went to meet some of the women fighting to get to the top in Switzerland. A group of about 14 women have met up after the working day for what's called a success group, pitching business ideas and giving feedback and career pointers to other women.
With this, Jane, the floor is yours. The floor is mine.
This success group is part of the Professional Women's Group in Zurich. It was set up by personal coach Desiree Steinmann when she was looking for a way to bounce ideas off other women with a very professional focus.
We bring women together, international women who like to network, who like to inspire each other, who like to meet and exchange. The success group also focuses especially really on, it's like a think tank where always two or three women in one evening get the attention and the focus and the input from about anything between 5 and 25 women at a time.
This evening, as a long-term member pitched an idea, Kirsten, a former senior HR manager for large corporates, who's now looking to branch out on her own, gave her feedback. Away from the buzz of the discussion, I asked Kirsten why she was coming to these groups.
In the long run, I really would like to come with a more concrete question of my personal situation and then really use that group as a kind of expert group. Right now we talk about the Professional Women's Group, but I saw a similar initiative within a company and I found it myself really helpful because you learn to broaden your horizon. You don't meet only the people you meet naturally because they are your close working colleagues. You meet people from other departments and I think it's quite inspirational.
The next day, in an office across town, coach Margot Kleimans is telling me how creating strong networks and developing particular skills are some of the points that come up in her workshops.
This was the title, Be Your Best, Growing Confidence Under Duress.
She's showing me the flip chart sheets from her recent workshop for a different women's network.
One thing that I always do at the start of every workshop is talk about expectations. I always want to hear what women are looking for in this. You know, how to psych themselves up, how to sell themselves, how to sell their brand, is what one person said. Get over intimidation, what to do when you're the only woman in the room, or maybe the youngest woman, or the oldest woman, or the oldest person. How and when should they put themselves forward? All these kind of things were what they were looking for.
Although Margot coaches both men and women, the way her clients come to her is quite different.
A lot of the larger leadership development trainings I do with global organizations tend to be dominated by men. In general, it'll be 75% men in a leadership or management course that I run.
She leads women's courses and leadership training sessions for independent groups and companies, but says those in the workplace can receive an uncertain reception.
When we have these programs at the corporations that I'm talking about that are specifically made for women, you'd be surprised how reticent women are to come. Oftentimes they say, we don't need an extra program for us. Don't treat us with kid gloves. Don't give us extra stuff. We don't need this. And then once they arrive, they realize, oh, this is really a special treat to be able to reflect and to learn in a group of women and really open up and share experiences with each other in the work environment.
In a country where 96% of top executive roles such as CEOs and CFOs are male, are women right to be hesitant about specific gender development programs? Based in Geneva, Sybil Ruprecht is the European Executive Director for Catalyst, an organisation that carries out research and promotes women in business.
What we have found in our research is that sometimes women are flocked to death with development measures. They are just overdeveloped. And they are in the development programs for a longer time. So what really is important for companies is that they actually monitor the development programs of men and women so that they make sure that the programs are balanced.
She does believe that programs aimed at gender equality have an important role to play, as do women's networks.
They bring not only new insights to the participants, but they also enlarge the social network. And social networks are always important, being able to exchange with people who are a little bit like-minded.
However, Sybil Ruprecht views them as part of a wider picture.
All these women groups are very good, but not sufficient. Because if really there should be any progress, it should be the working place that needs to be fixed and not the women. The women are often very well educated. They have all the tools in hand. If they only could have a chance in the working place.
Although many large companies and employers in Switzerland run these programs and organize mentors and sponsors, the number of women in high-level positions hasn't changed much over the years and is still lower than the European average. So what place do quotas have for women in this discussion? It's an issue that really divides opinion. In November 2013, the Swiss Cabinet agreed to recommend a voluntary 30% female quota for boards and leadership positions of public enterprises with close links to the Swiss government, such as the Post or the Swiss Federal Railways. Anita Fetz, a Social Democrat senator for Basel, had campaigned for the quotas and at the time told Swiss Public Radio, SRF,
30% is doable, and there is a generation of highly qualified women. You might have to look a little bit harder for them than men, but you can find them.
In February 2014, the Canton of Basel voted in favour of a 30% gender quota, also for boards of similar public cantonal organisations. It's on the agenda in other places around the country, and we'll certainly be hearing more about that in the future. You're listening to the Swiss Info programme with me, Jo Fay. Boardroom quotas and networking groups might be the current battleground, but it was a very different story in the Middle Ages. Though many female characters had a role to play in Swiss history, they haven't often made it into well-known tales and legends. One of the most famous stories in historical Swiss folklore is about a man, William Tell, who was made to shoot an apple off his son's head by a wicked Austrian governor. Swiss Info journalist Julia Slater has been looking into some of the legends that do exist about the historic undertakings of Swiss women. She joined me in the studio earlier, and I started by asking her what kind of role women did play in Switzerland's history.
Well, as far as battles are concerned, I think we can basically say they didn't play very much of a role. These stories that we do have, which may or may not be true, and I have to say that I suspect probably most of them are not true because they were written down quite a bit later, they involve women being cunning, or they involve women giving their men some kind of backup, or some of them actually involve women taking part themselves in the battle and bearing arms and acting like their menfolk do. So, for example, I think the best-known story, and this one is one of the few that's known all over Switzerland, is the story of Mère Royaume in Geneva in 1602 in the so-called Escalade, when the forces of the Duke of Savoy were trying to retake the city, which had escaped from under his control, and they crept into the city at night, scaling the walls. But fortunately, Mère Royaume was up late making a lot of soup, and she heard them coming, and she grabbed her cauldron of boiling soup, presumably, and chucked it down on them, which, of course, took them by surprise, and they started yelling, and that woke the citizens, and Geneva was saved. One story that I like very much that perhaps is not very well known is the story of the women in Gruyère, which is now in Canton Fribourg, and at the time was ruled by the local count. It was being besieged one day by the Bernese troops. The menfolk were all away trying to keep them off somewhere else. And the women had this cunning idea. They had brought all their goats inside the village to keep them safe. They tied brushwood to their horns. They waited to nightfall, set the brushwood on fire, sent them into the enemy troops who thought there was an army of demons and took flight. And that story is actually very interesting because it rang a bell with me. I remember reading it in Latin about Hannibal doing exactly the same thing against the Romans with bulls. So that makes me think that perhaps this story might have been written up later by somebody who also knew their Latin, or it might be that it's such an obvious thing to do that they thought of it independently, who knows.
The actual level of truth behind some of the stories is perhaps a little bit suspect, it's fair to say.
I think we can say that. Although it's quite interesting, at the time of the French invasion, 1798, and then going into 1799, there are lots of stories of women fighting very, very fiercely against the French invaders. And presumably those are more likely to be true, or they're better documented. They were documented at the time by eyewitnesses. There's a very famous occasion in Nidwalden where a three-figure number of women were actually killed in battle fighting alongside the men. Well, Nidwalden is one example of many, really all over Switzerland, where the women apparently did take part in the battles.
And of course, you spent quite a lot of time researching these different stories and tales for the article that you wrote for our website. But generally speaking, stories that feature heroic women are far less well-known and not very prominent in Switzerland's historical narrative. Does that tell us something about how women have traditionally been regarded here?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I interviewed various experts, and one person, for example, suggested that they don't want to promote women in the role of warrior because women have got a different role in society, that in medieval times, women's role in society was much more to do with strengthening family relationships, helping their men folk, possibly by cunning to get to high office. When they did talk about women, then there was much more the idea that it was even women who did this, not that it was perfectly natural for women to do it. You talked about William Tell. William Tell was doing what men are supposed to do. He was defending his family and his country. And women, when they do that, it's not really what they're supposed to be doing.
Could this idea that they didn't want to be promoting women in the role of the warrior be a reason why it sometimes took a while to get a commemoration going of some events?
That's interesting. I think that probably the reason why it took time to get commemorations going was we don't know how true these stories were. So some of the stories, as we say, may never have happened at all. There was a movement in the 19th century to recreate customs that had allegedly been forgotten. They were dug up from more or less valid sources. One of the events, a place called Porklas, the Porklas gate bars the entrance to the Valnomnetsia. And the story is that the women there, their menfolk were away trying to stop an army coming into the valley. The women heard that separate troops were trying to sneak in. And so they rushed up to this gate and bombarded them with sticks and stones and tree trunks and what have you. This event took place in 1352. It was first commemorated in 1860, a date that they rather plucked out of the air. And then it was re-commemorated in 1952. There was a huge play in which everyone in the village took part and thousands of people came to see it. There was an interest in recreating history, true or not, in the 19th century. And another very interesting commemoration is the one in the villages of Farwangen and Meisterschwanden in Canton Aargau. The story is that in 1712, the women marched through the woods with their pots and pans making a noise, so the enemy thought they were reinforcements and fled. That event did or didn't take place in 1712. It was first commemorated in 1912. The people who commemorate it admit that maybe it's commemorating something that didn't happen quite in the way in which it's now been told. But it's very interesting that 1912 was a time when the women's movement was really taking off. And the commemoration that they have now, I mean, it's a very jolly event. The women dress up in clothes of the period of 1912, suffragette-type clothes, and they go round with a huge net and they catch men. The men are supposed to then invite them for a drink. The women rule the roost for 3 days. But that probably has much more to do with the beginning of the 20th century than it does with the beginning of the 18th century.
And probably quite a fun tradition to carry on anyway.
Even the men caught in the net are laughing about it.
In the end. That's it for this week. For more news and stories from Switzerland, head over to our website, swissinfo.ch.